All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's up? Welcome back to the Core Queen Podcast. I'm your girl, Didi Leggett, aka The Core Queen. Y'all know what we like to do over here. We like to talk shit and get fit physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Today, I have Carolina Gold, yo, platinum. Look, whatever the highest stone is, he here. Y'all, this is Mr. AJ Lee. Welcome, AJ.
What's happening?
I am so happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Oh, my God, we got some things to talk about.
Do we? Look. Yeah. The Carolinas are already pissed at me.
That's all right.
Listen, but that's fine. I like it. I love it. But we are here to stir some shit up, get some answers, get the people to know who you are, because if you don't know him, you should. But I'll let you know a little bit about him because he got a real bio. Okay. Some of y'all niggas need to take notes.
Let's hear it.
AJ Lee, he is a business owner and Grammy nominated. I ain't say BET Award. I ain't say Source Award. I said Grammy nominated audio engineer. He is the owner of Quantum Beats Recording Studio in Columbia, South Carolina, and he's also the co-owner of Audio Box Studios in Charlotte, North Carolina. Y'all, if y'all don't know Audio Box and y'all do music, you're trash.
Tap in.
Y'all better, because that's where you need to be. He is responsible for creating the sound and quality for over a decade in South Carolina, providing a home for artists such as Lil Rue, Blind Fury, Speaker Knockers, and Black Zach, to super platinum producers such as Jetson Made It. Y'all know his tagline.
Oh, Lord.
Jetson Made Another One. Hey. And even Charlamagne Tha God. AJ quickly decided to spread his sound to the Carolinas as a whole, partnering up with Mike Izzard. If y'all don't know who Mike is.
Mike.
Shout out to Mike.
Mike on the island somewhere right now.
As he should be.
Man.
I'm jealous, Mike.
Shout out to Mike.
Shout out to Mike, y'all. He is definitely the other half of the co-ownership of Audio Box Studios. AJ is the sound. He's bringing the sound. Mike's bringing the sound and the business expertise to the Carolina, Charlotte to be in particular. Audio Studios, where they teamed up and quickly became the go-to recording studio in Charlotte. Every artist in the industry that come through here goes to Audio Box to record. These are facts. Facts. Early on, while at Audio Box, AJ would meet and work closely with an artist known at the time as Baby Jesus, who took his recording sound quality immediately and eventually made Audio Box his home. Eventually signing the South Coast Music Group and Interscope and changing his name to Da Baby. Y'all know who Da Baby is. He was born and bred in Charlotte, North Carolina, and his music was born and bred in Audio Box Studios.
For real.
He continued to work with AJ as his engineer for recording a few radio singles features with artists like Fujiano and Grammy-nominated song from artist Dua Lipa. Like, who got a song with Dua Lipa?
Crazy.
Come on, y'all.
Crazy.
That's wild. Like, this dude know everybody. Since then, AJ has worked with major label artists such as Anthony Hamilton. Shout out to Ant. Ant, I'm still trying to get you on the show. Fantasia, Casey from Jodeci, DJ Khaled, Yo Gotti, and Tusi. That's just to name a few. Just a couple of them, just light, a little light work. AJ currently uses his time when not working behind the boards to mentor to the younger talent and gives job opportunities to aspiring audio engineers who he feels are serious and have what it takes currently to employ them all over. He has 20 audio engineers in the Carolinas. 20, oh, yeah. Y'all.
He's
writing checks. Yeah. He said his favorite motto is, I can show you better than I can tell you.
Every time.
Every time. Listen, he has been showing up and showing out. He loves to stay behind the scene, but we got him in front of the camera today, man. And putting in the work. In South Carolina, they gave him the nickname Juice. And in North Carolina, he is known as the Million Dollar Engineer. Let's y'all go. Welcome AJ Lee.
Let's go. Let's go.
That's a motherfucking bio.
What we doing?
Credentials, we honey. Huh? Credentials. Show and prove. Yeah. Listen, I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be here. Like I said, once again, it's just an honor, you know.
Well, it's definitely an honor to be in your presence. Yeah. So yeah. How did you even get into producing, engineering? How did you even get into that?
Man, the music. I was born into the music. My dad, they were in quartet groups, gospel. I grew up in the church. So I started playing instruments at like 6 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know, bass guitar and church and stuff like that. And I already knew at 6 and 7 years old, that's what I wanted to do. So I pursued it at a young age.
Really?
Not playing. Like, I went from every singing group talent shows to anything you think of music related, band, chorus.
Oh.
Whatever it was that I could get close to music, I was trying to do. So just doing that over time, and then I was an R&B artist. So
really?
Yeah.
What was your name?
I was in a group.
Really?
I was in an R&B group called Diamonds. We was in Columbia, South Carolina. Almost got signed to J Records at the time. It was brand new label, J Records. I was still in the military. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that later, but got deployed and it killed the deal. Killed the deal. They wanted me in the front. You know, I had long braids, long hair, don't care type.
What?
Yeah. So yeah, went from being an artist to a producer. Going from studio to studio, and the quality, you know, wasn't what I felt was up to par that what we was paying for. It kind of pushed me into the engineering. So when I started with the engineering, and I started listening to what the sound I was creating, and people started listening to the sound I was creating, and they was really messing with the sound I was creating. They said, nah, you need to do this. We need you. We need you. The Carolinas need you.
Wow.
So I said, you know what? I'm full-time engineering, and I'm going to take this Carolina thing and put it on my back. And the sound of the Carolinas is kind of what, you know, was created. So.
Okay. So when you were in this group.
Yeah. I didn't want to say that because I knew you. That's cool. Yeah.
Because I feel like I just watched, you know, Steve Harvey when he had the show. He was Mr. Hightower. So when you were in the group, first of all, what was the name of the group?
Diamonds.
Ladies, okay.
Best friend. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all was R&B?
R&B all the way.
Was you the lead singer?
I wasn't quite the lead singer, but I was the lead person.
Okay.
They wanted to push me in the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
Y'all had like dance routines and stuff too?
We just sang, so we had to do all that dance. We did a little bit of dancing, but we sang, you know.
Okay.
We opened up for Anthony Hamilton and a couple other at the time. Who was that? Can't think of her name right now, but just different artists. And you know, we did our thing. Like I said, we was right at the brink of being signed, and unfortunately, I got deployed, and they signed a group called Next. You know, Next RL.
No way.
Yeah, for sure. AJ Savage. Shout out to AJ Savage. That was our manager.
I know AJ Savage. You introduced me.
Yeah.
Now.
So that was our manager at the time, and he, you know, brought us in the door. And,
oh my god.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That is wild.
Crazy. Yeah.
So how long were you doing? How long were y'all a group? Right until the.
We were a group for, I'd say, a good 3 years strong.
Wow.
You know, legitimately and killing the Carolinas, like, yeah. Oh, we was in Atlanta, Carolinas, Florida. We did our thing. You know, we was at autograph status.
Wow.
For sure.
I definitely never knew that.
I got footage to back it up.
See, you're full of, you got all the stuff. That's why you who you are.
So yeah, definitely the artist thing was always in me. But just the music quality was, I had an ear at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could really tell you the pitches and the keys and the notes without knowing exactly the notes. I knew it sounded right. You know, so just having that gift alone kind of gave me a little edge on the engineering side. So yeah, that's kind of how that started.
So what was the feeling when you got, because you weren't in the military.
Uh-huh. Shout out to everybody, yourself.
Thank you.
You serve, yeah. For sure.
So what was that feeling like when you had to leave and give up that dream?
To be honest, I was devastated at the point when it first happened. But mm-hmm. while I was overseas, I used that time to really definitely lock in the gym. So I came back.
Oh, yeah.
You already know I came back, right? And so I said, when I come back, we going hard. You know?
Okay.
And so I used that time to really just get myself focused and get my mind right to really say, okay, after the military, this is 100% of what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Dang. Yeah. I could. Oh, Lord. I know you was sick.
But you know what? I'm kind of glad I didn't get signed. And we're going to talk about another topic on that, because I felt like at that time and at that age, I probably wouldn't sign a good deal. Mm. It was four members in the group, split that up four ways.
Yeah.
I'm an R&B singer, the women coming.
Yeah.
Add them kids
Ooh,
up.
Child.
Yeah. So I think it was a blessing in disguise, you know,
right,
that it didn't happen that way.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay. How long did you serve in the military?
I was in there for 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 years. Yeah. So definitely.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, they know one thing they know how to do is change that path for you.
They'll
do that for you, whether you want them to or not.
Yeah, I said, damn, somebody was at one of my shows or something. I'm like,
dang.
I deployed real quick. But yeah.
Well, it all worked out.
It definitely worked out. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have met Mike. I wouldn't be here sitting on the couch with you. You know?
There you go. See how God worked?
For sure.
So what has been like the most difficult part of your job
as an audio engineer?
Yeah.
Okay. So as an audio engineer, you have about 5 or 6 different jobs. Mm. And I'm gonna break it down. First of all, you're dealing with multiple personalities on a daily basis.
Right.
That alone, you have to be mentally capable of dealing with each individual and what they might have gone through before they got to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring in different energies. So for instance, I could have a typical day. I could have a 10 a.m. session. I'm recording live music, like live drums, a live mm-hmm. band. Okay, by 2 o'clock, I might be doing a gospel artist.
Mm-hmm.
All right, by about 5, 6, 7 o'clock, maybe R&B.
Mm-hmm.
By 8, 9, 10, trapped out. Trapped out. And look at all these different things I went through
in
one day, and to be able to give them the quality and the customer service equally.
Right.
That's a job that you have to be prepared to do. Artists go through a lot. I'm going to tell you right now, being an audio engineer, I'm the artist therapist. I'm the artist A&R. I'm the artist ghostwriter sometimes. I'm the artist developer.
Wow.
I got the phone recording the videos while they on the mic recording for the content. You know, so you have a video at the end. So it's a lot that goes into it. If you want to be a successful audio engineer, you gotta be willing to do all that, you know, to give the artist that edge. That's what they're looking for. They need help. That's where they coming. They need help. And if you can provide that for them, and at the end of the day, they happy with what they got, you know, then you did your job.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I never looked at it that way. That's a lot.
I didn't have people come in there, and by the end of the session, they breaking down crying and telling me, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, man, I'm a straight therapist at this point, and I'm trying to like really give them like real life advice.
Right.
You know? And this was a recording session. I didn't come.
You don't pay me for this, sir.
Exactly. But you know, it's a part of it.
I think,
in my opinion, if you really want to be a serious engineer and a craft and deal with these artists,
mm-hmm.
then that's what they need. They need that. They need that. They're going through a lot. These artists go through a lot. So you got to be able to, you know, give them that help, you know, that they're looking for.
And it's, you know, I'm not going to be insensitive at all.
Yeah.
I'm going to try not to.
No, it's cool.
And, because like you said that they go through a lot, which, you know, regular life stuff. But I know that a lot of the times these artists really are like passionate about what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And they are hell bent on making it.
Yes,
like they see this, they feel like they can touch it, they can grab it, they can have it. And it's like, at what point do you? I'm not going to say stop making music, because you should always make music, because that's a craft, that's a skill.
Oh yeah,
it's a gift. But when do you shift or pivot to where it's like, okay, this might not, I'm struggling so bad, I might not make it to that.
That's a hard question, because if you look at all the artists that made it, their story, and when they get in front of a camera, tell their story, they struggled to the point of they wanted to quit and they didn't, and they made it. So I wouldn't say quit, because that's part of your journey. That's part of your story. It's going to be hard, rough. And then I tell artists all the time, stop looking at what social media puts out there. You can make a good living, six-figure living. Nobody really checking for you, but so what? You feeding your family off of this music, something you love to do, and all you got to do is handle your business correctly. You know, and that's it.
A lot of them, I think they want to be popular more than they want to make the money.
Yeah, they want everybody to see the money, whether it's real or fake. Kind of throw it, burn it up, whatever. And they happy. And I'm like, nah.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
He did my account.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not looking for validation from social media. I need validation from Wells Fargo, Bank of America. You know, those type of people, when I show up, they know my name. But yeah, social media will have them thinking that they have to be the number one artist.
You
have to be the number one artist. You need to be a successful artist. That's what you want to be. So,
that was a word.
Yeah. So artists. If you listen, if you see this, whenever this come out, just know that this is a business. And if you take it and handle yourself like a business, you will obtain some sort of success. And that's just real talk. There's no way you will fail if you handle your business the right way. You know,
that's good advice. You know? Because I believe that all of them are trying to be that 1%.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be that mainstream artist. And I'm like, but that may not be your lane, though.
I personally wouldn't want that. All that. I want the money, but I don't want all that attention on me. Everything I do, I can't scratch my... look at this. I can't scratch my no ears. I don't want that microscope on me.
Yeah.
I want to be able to go to Walmart or the mall or wherever I want to go. Mm-hmm. Pull up. I tell everybody, I want to be like a baseball player.
Oh, yeah. Because nobody know who they are, really.
No salary cap. No salary cap on the baseball league.
Money. Just money.
You walk right past them in the mall, in the airport. Don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just take your craft seriously. Definitely perfect your craft. Put in time.
Get that business right. Please get the business right.
For sure.
So what has been your most memorable project that you've worked on?
My most memorable project that I worked on would probably be, to this date, I worked on a lot. Man, I don't want to mess this one up. I'm going to go with something recent. That would be a song I did a year ago. It was, like I said, I was an R&B artist, so I was working with Casey from Jodeci. And that was one of my favorite groups growing up. I trained my ear musically to their album and stuff like that. So I was able to work with him on a song. But along with that, it was a song that was featured with Charlie Wilson.
Uncle Charlie.
Babyface.
What?
And Johnny Gill. All on one song.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so for that, because New Edition was everything to me back in the day. Charlie Wilson was just Uncle Charlie, you know, and Johnny and Babyface just was smooth, and that's where I got my kind of demeanor from, the smooth like cat that, you know, just always got it together. But yeah, that was like, man, I was on the high for like months.
That is so dope.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So I think that would be one of the most memorable, for sure.
Okay.
I worked on a song with DJ Khaled also, and it was a song with him, T-Pain, Kanye, and Jay-Z called Go Hard.
Okay, look at you.
Yeah, and
y'all.
I worked with DJ Khaled on the vocal tip with that. Yep.
Man, you just in these streets, honey. Yeah. I don't know nothing about AJ.
So those two right there on the hip-hop side, on the R&B side.
Put some respect on this man's name.
Please.
Quit playing with him. So look, you know, I don't know how true this is, but I heard it goes down in the studio.
Okay.
I don't know. Have you witnessed anything crazy going down in the studio?
Artists, man. I talk. Sometimes artists need inspiration, and that's all I'm going to say.
Oh my God!
and inspiration in the booth may be something they need, and you know, hey, oh God. You know.
Okay, well,
hits.
It goes down in the studio. You know,
some of them tracks where you be hearing certain sounds on the song.
They the real deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, ladies, if you're dating the artist. Yeah. And he don't let you come to the studio with him. Now you know why. Now you know why.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an art, you know.
He says an art.
We want to keep it as in as natural, you know, organic as they say, as possible.
That's what y'all call it.
Yeah, we need it.
Interesting.
To capture that moment.
Oh my God. Okay. So, why do you think so many talented artists from the Carolinas have such a hard time breaking into the industry?
I wouldn't say, I'm trying to answer this the right way. Mm-hmm. And I tell them to their face too when I talk to them. Mm-hmm. They don't hold their chest out like who they are. They're some of the most talented people, artist-wise, out here. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they kind of hold their head down and little themselves over these major artists. I'm like, if you use your ears, man, y'all are just as hard and even harder than these mainstream artists. So what I see a lot of times, and these mainstream artists are really listening to South Carolina artists, mm-hmm. and they say, well, they ain't gonna do nothing with it. I might as well go ahead. And I'm hearing, because I've been recording some of these guys, and I'm hearing some of the ad-libs and some of the cadences.
Uh-oh.
And I know, you know what I'm saying, where it's coming from. I done seen some of these mainstream artists in the strip club listen to them South Carolina artists' music. And next thing you know, 2-3 months later, I'm hearing some of the same, you know. Shout out to all the artists, though. But, hey, I think South Carolina just really needed that one to show them that it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And really pull together to, like, you know, it's a unity thing, too. Everybody want to be the first one. Jesus. Everybody want to be the only one,
mm-hmm.
you know, and instead of being a machine and linking up and really putting it down like, you know, a real unit type thing, you know. So I think they're getting closer, though, you know, from way back from when I first started. You know, I kind of see it getting a little bit better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because I believe it was Michi Balboa last week who he was talking about, you know, he had been doing music for like 10 years and he said he don't do it no more other than just like for a hobby.
Right.
And he just was like, he felt like it was a waste of his money. Mm. Like he wasn't willing to pour that much money into something where he doesn't feel like it's ever going to pay off because he's been doing it for so long. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, it's so many artists here that I see a lot. Some of them talented, some of them not. Mm-hmm. And then we have a lot of influence in the Carolinas.
Right.
So it's just odd to me that these artists aren't being picked up or offered deals. Maybe, I don't know. Like, it just seems like they struggling to get the attention.
A lot of times with the music industry now, it's a financial thing too. So I'm a pull some of these athletes' cards and NBA, NFL players from the Carolinas need to pick up some of these artists and put a little bit of money behind these artists because they don't have the budget, you know, and that's the one thing that New York artists have, or Atlanta artists, they have somebody behind them. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it is or where the money comes from, but the money's behind them. And that's sometimes the difference, you know. So I personally seen a lot of, you know, athletes come ball out in the clubs, listen to the music of the Carolina artists, turn up to the music of the Carolina artists, but very few, you know, really say, let me see what we could do possibly, you know. And it don't take a lot, you know. It just takes the right person and the right artist. And now, you could tell quickly who the artist need, which one you need to grab.
Right.
You could, yeah. Who you now, had on? You had on Fooley. What's his name?
Yeah, I had Fooley.
Fooley on here. That's one of them.
That boy. That song he got.
That's one of
them. Listen, if y'all don't pick him up, I don't even know.
It's packed. He ready.
I don't understand how that boy ain't signed yet.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, his little short stint, his vacation he took a couple of years.
And that ain't, but that helped. Nothing. That helps other artists when they do that.
Yeah.
They come out stronger. Their numbers up.
Yeah. And he ain't fell off. That song is not fall. That song is, that's a song forever.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be hot. When they play that song forever, they're going to go crazy in the club. Yeah,
so he got some heat. I've been listening to him at the studio lately. He got some new heat. So shout out to Fooly.
Yes.
Shout out to Willie Frank.
Oh yeah. Oh, Willie Frank, the GOAT.
My dog.
I agree with you. And I never heard anyone even mention that spin on it where the athletes and stuff around here, that's a good idea. Because they don't be helping nobody do nothing. Yeah. I don't understand. Because most of the time people will point the finger at the gatekeepers in the Carolinas.
Well, the gatekeepers got to get paid. Mm. So this is a business. Like, and business is transactions. Like, this is money. It's a money game. It take money to make money. Nobody moving. Nobody moving for free.
Yeah, and I just don't believe, and this will lead to my next question for you. Mm-hmm. I don't believe now, y'all. I might not know what I'm talking about, but I'm just telling you what I believe or don't believe. I don't believe that there are artists or multiple artists in the Carolinas who have been consistently great for at least 6 months straight. They might be consistently good. Mm-hmm. They might be okay. They might do this, do that here and there, sprinkle. But the greatness that it takes to get to that level, to do it consistently for a 6 month period, in my opinion, would raise eyebrows. It would get people looking and maybe somebody really want to invest. But I don't see that.
Yeah, life happens too. But you got to treat it like a sport, like the greats, LeBron and Steph and all them. If they sore, they knee sore, they still in the gym shooting, they still in the weight room. You got to push through it, and life happens, but you still got to push through it if you really
want
to.
If that's what you say you want.
When I first started, with the engineering thing, I had the home studio, spent all my rent money on equipment and stuff like that. I'm letting them know because.
Listen.
I had to park over the water meter with my car so they wouldn't turn the water off because I didn't spend my money on mics and, you know, recording stuff, because this is what I want to do.
Right.
By any means necessary, I'm going to get it done. And so the sacrifice that you have to make sometimes, people kind of one foot in, one foot out. You got to decide, look, I'm all in, and I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to have to deal with the shortcomings or what comes along with it.
Yeah.
This ain't easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Exactly.
It's not an easy business. Even when you get in there, it's people that's multimillionaires, miserable as hell. You know what I'm saying? Going through so many problems. Money ain't going to solve everything, first of all.
It sure ain't.
So when you get in there, the money going to amplify whatever you got going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about these folks maybe not sacrificing like they should, let's talk about your opinion on what Chuck T said, and to remind my viewers on the viral moment that happened on my show, where he said that he doesn't believe any Carolina artists are ready for a major record deal.
Okay. First of all, shout out to DJ Chuck T.
Chuck T.
Chuck T been putting in work for decades.
I want you to move that mic closer to you because I want these people to hear this.
First of all, shout out to DJ Chuck T. Chuck T been putting in work for decades. When I first started, I was working with my artist at the time. I had an artist named Macadon. And Chuck T would always take our music, show us love, give us feedback. And he would always say, man, it's hard, man. Everything sounds professional, but I can't hear what he's saying. Turn his vocals up. I'm just now starting off mixing. I don't know what I'm doing. But that feedback really pushed me to really master my craft, you know, and really pay attention to, you know, I'm going to the car now and checking my mixes. You know what I'm saying? Before we press up 1,000 CDs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To go to Myrtle Beach for bike week and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I feel like what Chuck T said, in my opinion, might be right. And then, like I said, the artists, they're going to get mad and take it personal. But at the same time, you really got to assess what he's saying and say, am I really ready? Because you could get a deal tomorrow, but are you ready? If you get a deal and you ain't ready, that's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. And you're going to be regretting it for the rest of your life. Because they blow you up and you're a one-hit wonder. You can't go get a regular job. People crown, they clowning you. You know what I'm saying? People ain't booking you no more. The label got you on the shelf. They might own your name, likeness. You got to change your name.
Dang.
All kind of 360 deals. I mean, if you really want to go through that for an advance, which is a loan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to pay that back before you make money. And people thinking that's it. But the bag is temporary. If you ain't ready, it's temporary.
Yeah.
I done seen artists way up there and come right back down. And, all the way down.
And it's funny you said that because a lot of the people in the comments, which were obviously artists,
mm-hmm.
they were like upset and they were like, it's plenty of talent here. And he was like, I'm not talking about talent. Mm-hmm. And he would literally go to their Spotify right then and there, check out their numbers. He was like, how are you telling, you arguing with me that you're ready for a major record deal
right.
and you got 5 monthly followers on Spotify?
Yeah, like, yeah. You got to put in the work. I mean, if you want to be a longevity artist,
right.
you know what I'm saying? If you want to be this microwavable one, like I said, one hit wonder, trendy artist real quick, you better save your money when you get it
yeah.
and invest it because after that year or two is over with, it's over with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Go get a job if you can. Cause you know, it's real. And I just feel like artists should take that as motivation to really go harder instead of taking it as let's clap back. Let's fire back. Let's
right.
get in the comments and go crazy. No, take what he said and yeah, make you mad. Okay. Do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like go harder, like put more money into promotion. Like, you know, get in a studio that got.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
The quality, you know, for the sound and make sure the production, your producers got the quality beats that's comparable to what's out right now.
Right.
You know, and then you have an argument. But until then, you know, he has a valid point and he's trying to help y'all at the end of the day.
Yeah. And he also broke it down to where like there are major artists, something like DaBaby. He didn't go straight to a major.
Nope.
He went to a developmental label and then eventually Interscope signed him.
Yep.
So he ran that down for most mainstream artists to let them know.
And I watched DaBaby. Like, DaBaby put in work.
Man.
I used to record DaBaby and do mixtapes. He did mixtapes called Baby Talk before he got signed, and he was Baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be in the studio. He'd be recording the jack beats, the mixtape. He'd have his phone set up in the corner recording himself, and then after the session, he'd have it download on his laptop, and he'd be editing his video,
mm-hmm.
putting it together, had his clothes with his logos on it, had his homeboys with his clothes with his logos on it,
mm-hmm.
had everything, posters. He was not playing, and he stayed consistent, South by Southwest or wherever he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I seen that boy do, I used to call him, man, I got somebody want to feature, man. They got 500. Oh, man, okay, bet.
Mm-hmm.
And last time I recorded a baby for a feature, so I ain't going to tell you the number. About 6 of them things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But same artist, same location. Just, you know, put in the work.
Yep. His grind is different.
Yeah, so... You can do it too, and it might not be on that level, but it's going to be, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're going to see some progress.
Well, speaking of DaBaby, Michi Balboa, my last guest, he said that the only reason DaBaby really blew and got signed is because of the incident that happened at Walmart. Do you agree with that?
Nope, because I was there, and that boy put in work. He had his performances on stage alone. You ever seen the boy perform?
Mm-hmm.
He got it.
Yeah.
He got it. And it's undeniable. Another artist that had it like that, Lil Rue, just on stage, he just got it. He's a star, and he's gonna always have that it factor when they get on that stage. So nah, he deserved, you know what I'm saying, everything that he got. He worked for it. I seen him work for it, so I can't let nobody
still
say. Still grinding. It's called guerrilla marketing. It's old school. You flood them with content. You flood them with in your face. Type stuff, and that's what it is. He's guerrilla marketing with this video dropping and social media. He's feeding content constantly,
mm-hmm.
and that's an automatic win, you know. So
yeah, these fools won't even post a video a day, and they talking about trying to get signed to a major deal.
That's why I said, honestly, if I was an artist, I would say I don't need no label. I'm about to, like, show you better than I can tell you. You know, I'm gonna show you. And then when I show you, I'm gonna get it without you. They gonna come looking for you.
Yeah.
Now you can negotiate. I ain't taking no 360. I'm already making that. Yeah. So it's
and that's I'm glad you said that, because a lot of artists are looking at it in reverse. Yeah. Like if they just come help me.
Don't let the label be your savior, or you it's not gonna work in your favor. It's not. Ooh. They banking that you need them. I give you 100 bands. But what are you gonna have to do to pay that back? What Future? I seen an interview Future did one time. He said, I'm on my second or third album, still paying back my first album. So I'm like, how?
That's wild.
Yeah, so yeah, nah.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Nah.
So would you recommend somebody that's thinking about getting into music, would you recommend them to be in the music industry or get into it?
The music industry is a $1 billion industry. And what I tell everybody is, stop focusing on being a rapper.
Oh, say it again, God.
Everybody stop.
Listen.
The services is who write the checks. And you, even if you're not a rapper, what about licensing, like for sync licensing for movies, commercials, TV? What about movies? What about, like, everybody's thinking about just making these type of songs. Why not make songs that could go in movies, or they can go in TV shows, or these reality shows? They use 50 songs on one episode sometimes. Mm-hmm. And why not try that route? Or why not produce music for that? Or, you know, why not see about artist management? How can I get into that? Or how can I get into publishing? Or how can I get into marketing? Or how can I get into all these other behind the scenes?
So many
people was
so
getting the bag. I'm telling you.
I'm like, the artist, the last one to get paid. Why would you want to do that?
I'm telling you. These labels call me and they say, I need a W-9. Yes, sir.
I'm sending
it to you. And that's where you need to be on that end. You need to be on that receiving end. Like, don't feel like you got to be this artist that just make it. You know, you could backdoor it. Get in as a songwriter. Get in on the other end. And then you get your own bag. You can put out whatever you want to put out. Yes. And they going to back you at the same time, because now you done built these relationships with these folks.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
And that's how a lot, especially the R&B singers, that's how they've been writing for other artists for years.
Tank wrote for all them B2Ks and everybody.
Money Long.
They just be writing. All these female artists that you think just popped out.
They've been
right.
I say that all the time. I'm like, why don't y'all just go write for people? Like, then you get in there, you get to mingle, network.
Get your foot in the door.
They know you now.
Then you seeing the business from the other end. You can kind of assess, like, okay, I see how they move. I see how this work. Let me do this. Okay, now when I come back on the artist end, I know, you don't mean to pay from that. I'm going to pay for my own.
Because
you're going to charge me triple time of what it's supposed to cost for studio time. I'm going to pay for that myself. Like, audit these labels, man. If you got a deal, audit the labels and make sure that you got, you know, your money right. Because I'm telling you, they send me invoices. I'm telling you, I'm gonna leave it alone.
And I think when you're talking from that standpoint, with the different lanes and avenues that you can go into the industry, then you don't have to worry about the ageism, because I know that's an issue. So you can never get too old to write music.
Never get too old to write music. Make music or pitch music to Disney or Warner, whoever. And like I said, even now, the age of music went up, like in the Grammys and stuff. All the older people won Grammys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they was in their 30s, like a lot of them. You know, some of them 40. How's Killer Mike, 40 something?
Yeah.
Definitely. But
y'all listen, don't y'all bring y'all old asses in no music industry in your 30s just starting.
You definitely can't just I mean, some people go viral and they get lucky, you know, and sometimes it work out for them. But other than that, I don't
think. Go write some songs for people.
Yeah. Just
be a backup singer.
Man, if you're trying to get in, you gotta, however you can slide in there, if you marketing for an artist or a label, or if you just get in the door some kind of way, you know what I'm saying? And work your way up.
Well, I think No Limit Larry said it best when he came on my show. He said, the problem with that is that the artists or they get like, once they like do a show or something, it mm-hmm. could be at a club, it could be anywhere, they get addicted to that. Oh, they're cheering for me.
Right.
Attention. Now they just focus on just doing that.
Yeah. A lot of artists looking for validation mm-hmm. and you know, that part right there could really, stunt your growth. Mm. Looking for validation can really stunt your growth. You know who you are. That's all that matter. You know, people say you this one day and then tomorrow they, you ain't.
Yeah, because you can see happen to the baby, yeah, right? They tried to drag him and he had to climb out his hole, but he had a real fan base.
That tested his grind. He had it. Like I said, he got it. So that tested, do he have it? Can he withstand this right mm-hmm. here? And the labels really, I know they's like, oh man, it's over for him.
Yep.
And he showed their ass and they like, oh man. So now, yeah.
Because he built a real core fan base.
Exactly.
On his own.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, I think these artists, and even if you try to tell them to try to take a different way, they all think that they're that 1% that's just going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to have that
conversation. Reality check. Some people need a lot of artists need reality. This is the reality check. This show right here is the reality check. You know, put in the work, but definitely seek other routes, you know, seek other avenues to just Google like jobs in the music industry. And you'll be amazed at how long the list is. And look at how much they get paid. Mm. You're going to be like, oh, no, I might need to do this for 2-3 years.
Yeah, and you're still in that industry. You're still around the people. Yeah. You're still moving. And you might get a bigger name because they respect you more.
Their relationship, they respect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man, I might look for a job. No, I'm joking. So I asked Willie Franco this question when he came in because I know he works at Audio Box.
All right,
he's an amazing engineer. Do you think that auto-tune allows untalented artists to saturate the music industry?
Nope. I think auto-tune is what it is. It was an evolution of music. Is a plug-in that is for audio vocal pitch correction, right? Mm-hmm. It was used, in my opinion, inappropriately by T-Pain, I guess. But became successful because it was a new sound. Everybody's looking for something new. Mm-hmm. And at that time, they were looking for something new. But T-Pain don't even need auto-tune.
No,
that boy
don't.
Can sing.
Yeah, he can.
So it was genius for him to use that the way he did. And then when Lil Wayne jumped on auto-tune, it was over with. So I had an artist that I recorded, shout out to Speaker Knockers, RIP to Speaker Knockers. He used auto-tune. He was one of the young ones that started using it. And his sound has been replicated over and over and over since his passing, and I hear it all the time. And so I think auto-tune is just like anything, like a cell phone or a car that's electric now. It's just the evolution of the sound, you know, what's been going on. They've been using it. Mm-hmm. It's been around forever. It's just that somebody decided we're going to turn it all the way up. Black folks, we always do that. Turn it up loud. Turn it all the way up. So they said, turn it up, turn it on hard tune. Let me see how it sound. And it sounded like a robot. And I'm like, what the heck? But then it started sounding good. Mm-hmm. T-Pain started sounding better and better on it. And then the next artist, all of them now, Ty Dolla $ign, everybody, it's just a standard now. It's an industry standard. So before we even record now, people ask, y'all got auto-tune? Yo, can you put auto-tune on me while I record? So it's just become an industry standard. I don't think it hurts the artist. I just think the artists need to find different ways to use it.
Well, I think some people that can't sing be using it and they shouldn't be singing.
I mean, they got to perform. If they got, that's on them. If they better have auto-tune on their live mic some kind of way. But at the end of the day, you're selling a product. So if it sounds good on the shelf or online or wherever it's at, people buy it. In my case, did your thing.
See, and I think, and the reason why I asked the question is because the hip hop, in specific, the hip hop genre is so saturated.
Yeah.
It's so many people that think they can rap. Mm-hmm. And I think that right now, if auto-tune didn't exist, a lot of them wouldn't be in it.
Definitely, because I could open up a session at the studio now and play it and take off that auto-tune. Mm. Some of your favorite artists too. Mm-hmm. Mainstream artists, number one hits. Mm-hmm. All that, and you'd be like, oh no, what is this? It sounds crazy. But like I said, it's an art, and part of it, you know, now is the use of auto-tune. And so it is what it is, part of the industry now. So I don't think it hinders anything with the artist. I think it's just everybody just needs to find creative ways to get another sound out of it. Mm-hmm. You can take auto-tune and add another plug-in or sound with it, mm-hmm. or something like that to manipulate the auto-tune, to transform, like be creative with auto-tune now. Let's try some different. I'm not going to give no ideas out
because I know that's right. That. I need the coin.
Yeah, but be creative with the auto-tune now and try to get a different sound from it and see how that works, because I think people are looking for something different now when it yeah. comes to that. I don't want to yeah. hear it all the time no more either. But
as soon as it come on, I turn.
Yeah.
I'm like, again,
somebody it makes a lot of artists sound the same too.
Yeah.
So it does do that. It definitely makes a lot of artists sound similar. So
Yeah. Y'all, can y'all, especially if you're an R&B artist, can y'all just get back to singing?
Singing.
Can we hear some singing, please? Some down south Anthony Hamilton singing. Yeah, yeah. Like, we missed that.
I put some auto-tune on Ant one time. What's that? I'll put that on my boy.
I know that's right. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's, I was gonna say something, but I'm gonna leave it alone. No, I ain't. I'm not gonna leave it alone. I am not gonna leave it alone. Because we talking about Anthony Hamilton. Yeah. I love Ant. Like, he is an amazing person. But that artist he got in that auto tune, I can't take it no more.
Yeah,
I can't take it no more.
It's like I said, it's part of a, I don't know how to explain it. Some people feel like they have to have it or they're not going to be accepted.
Oh, he has to have it because he can't sing.
Oh, Lord.
Sorry. He ain't got no, he might come on my show, Lord. I'm talking about God. The man. Might have to edit that out. No, I'm not. No, he needs it. I heard him live before and I was like.
But you know what? 90% of these artists need auto-tune live.
I heard him do the Can We Talk challenge.
Oh, man.
I said, why is y'all hyping this man up in these comments? This is terrible. It was bad.
Oh my God. It was bad.
I'm sorry. So that's why I just feel like auto-tune is a cheat code.
It is a cheat code.
And some people need to go to vocal lessons.
Vocal coaching is
You need to go, like, get your voice together.
Yeah. But, you know, people done got lazy now. Artists don't write no more.
Yeah.
They go in the booth and freestyle. They ask me what they said. I don't know. It's your song. They can't remember. You know, I go through a lot as an engineer.
Oh, my God.
You know. It's a lot of punching. 1,000 punches, your wrist feel like it's about to fall off.
Oh,
but yeah, it's a different game now. So I can't say auto-tune is bad because it made a lot of people rich.
A whole lot.
Yeah, so I can't say that's bad.
So I'm gonna ask you a question. You might not answer, but I'm gonna ask you.
Not gonna answer.
Because I know every time I ask this question, folks tap dance around it, or they be like, I ain't going to say it. Willie Frank was like, well, I don't want to give nobody no power.
Mm.
So if we have an artist that's in the Carolinas, who are the important people that they need to know or need to know them to be taken seriously?
If we have an artist and they have talent, who do they need to know?
Yeah, and some people need to know them too.
In the Carolinas or in general.
Like, you, if you're not on these folks' radar, you behind the power curve.
In the Carolinas,
In the Carolinas. Okay.
Me?
Come on, me.
I would say Arnold Taylor. I would say...
Well, don't go to Arnold if you're over 25, because he don't want you. He said you're too old. Go ahead.
I would say...
that's what he said. Or that's what I heard.
Audio Box Studios. Shout out to Mike, Audio Box Studios.
Big Mike, not the little one.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean... In general, No Limit Larry.
Oh, yeah. You got to know No Limit. He better know who you are.
Yeah. Down in South Carolina, Shanique Mincy. Neek from Hot 103.9.
Oh, she was at the Carolina Night.
Yeah.
Music Industry Night.
Yeah. She checking for all the local independent artists. I miss a few people. I mean, I'm on the spot. I shouldn't have said nothing, but it's DJs, all the DJs, all the DJs.
Yes.
I ain't even gonna say no DJ name, all of them, all the DJs, all the club promoters, all the promoters that book these big name artists.
Yes.
Cause then you can see how can you open up for these big name artists, build a relationship with the promoters, How can it make sense? See how you can work out, you know, build relationships with them. Tim Boss.
Oh,
Tim
yeah.
Boss bring a lot of big names.
Shout
artists.
Out to Tim Boss. Yeah. Big CEO.
Yeah. It's my dog.
I need to get him on my show. Yeah. Tim Boss, I need you on the podcast.
Yeah. So just, you know, anybody that's in the 100-mile radius, really, mm-hmm. they should know you.
Yeah.
At the minimum. Of her, or at least heard of you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard that song. I might not know the artist name, but I heard that mm-hmm. song. Oh, yeah. You know, if that ain't happening, mm. you still got work to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, but you got to move around. That's the key. If you're not moving around to these different markets, then Charlotte just going to know you, or Columbia's just going to know you, Gastonia just going to know you, or
right.
wherever you at, you're going to be a local hero. You know, I don't want to be, no. I want everybody to know what's going on. I'm coming.
Yeah.
You know, it's a campaign. You running when you are artist and you trying to get on, you are campaigning like you running for the president of the United States Ooh. Of America. If you do that and run your campaign just like these lying folks run their campaign about all these things they're going to do to get into office, then everybody gonna know. You're gonna see posters yeah. all up here and all in the ground, and you can rent the digital billboard for a couple $100 for an hour. It don't matter. Just
right.
all kind of stuff you can do. Campaign. You got a campaign. That's the key right there. You got a campaign.
That was a good analogy. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. So what three? Because you don't work with everybody. Mm. So I need to know. Do you have three mainstream artists that you would like to produce a record for?
That I have not worked
with. That you have not worked with.
Yep. Kanye.
Ooh.
Boy, I gotta get a good one for females. I say Kanye, I would say, oh man, that's rough. You said three?
Mm-hmm.
Kanye. I would say, that's hard right there.
Uh-oh.
That's hard. DJ Khaled again. Because he worked with and he's so excited about everything he do.
He's so grateful.
Yeah,
he seemed like a real grateful person.
He just like that in real in real life.
Good.
Yeah. So, Kanye, DJ Khaled, and let me get a female in there.
Man,
let me hit him with something crazy. For a female, Nicki Minaj.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj.
All right, those were three good ones.
Yeah.
Will you let me come? Let me know when they come so I can come in there with y'all.
It's on the way.
It's definitely on the way. So what has been your biggest accomplishment in music so far?
I would say another moment. I guess it felt like an accomplishment. It wasn't me, but so it's a story. I'm in the studio. I'm recording Anthony Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
In what we call the red room to the right. And the baby, he was baby Jesus at the time. No, he was the baby now.
Mm-hmm.
On the left in what we call the blue room, waiting for the session. And so I'm finishing up with Anthony Hamilton and Mike come over and we talking about what we gonna do. Y'all wanna go out? Y'all wanna do? Nah. And Mike say, whatchamacallit? AJ, let me go get the baby. And so we introduced the baby to Anthony Hamilton right there. And then a year and a half, 2 years later, I see the baby and Anthony Hamilton on the Grammys performing together. And I felt like a proud somebody. Like,
right.
Man, they don't even know the story behind
right.
how they met. And, you know, was just a cool moment to know that out of Audio Box, these two guys were on the biggest stage in the world at that time representing the Carolinas.
That's dope.
Yeah.
That is dope.
So I think that was one of the biggest moments where I felt it like, damn, they don't even know. Like, you know, yeah.
That's pretty damn awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm.
Big AJ. So what do you think is missing right now in the music industry?
Creativity. Not creativity. Everybody's being creative. Not being afraid to be different and challenge people's ears, because now everybody feels like, if this is the hit, then I need to sound like this. Then the next person, I need to sound like this. And I need to sound like, and I need to sound. Well, why not challenge people's ears and say, okay, let me see if I mix this genre with this genre, or this sound with this sound, or let me do you know, y'all like drill music, y'all like trap music. Do drill music on techno music. Do trapped out music on a jazz.
Right.
Something. Mix it up, like, so people can kind of see the possibility of what it could be, because it's an art. And no artist that I know of paint the same picture every time. They don't do that. So why are we, as artists, is what they call us, right?
Yeah.
Why are we doing that? Why are we painting the same picture over and over and over and over again? Why not be, you know, creative, like the top painters, you know, and do something different that you could call your own, that you could display and say, this is me, this is what I created. This is, whether you like it or not, I'm standing on this. This is me as an artist. And I think that's what's missing. It's a couple artists that do it, but they underground, and you'll never know what they got going on, because the industry, the machine don't push them. They don't get the, you know, the airplay or the looks or the, you know what I'm saying, the viral moments or whatever they need. But that's it on the mainstream level, I think.
Yeah, because I think when you mentioned that, like, the, like, trying to get those sounds into a club for a DJ to play is kind of hard, because they're like, oh, you're gonna mess up my whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. The format. And I get that too, but you do one for them. Okay, here you go. Let me get back to what I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And Kanye does, he does that all the time. He give you that one, he put his grill in and he transform and he give you that one with, he go get Dirk or he'll go get, you know what I'm saying? He know he's a genius. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
he'll give them this for the club, because I know they need something. Let me get back on my different shit after that, because I need to be creative. He's an artist,
yeah,
you know, and every one of them are artists that is in them. They just scared that somebody's going to not accept what they putting out. And you
that
can't
go back to what you said earlier. Yeah. They're looking for validation.
You cannot be scared to put something out that you feel like you like it. Well, put it out. That's you. That's who you are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And most of the time when you get those artists that come, like, we be like, oh, that's different. Like, we like different. Toby and Requin. When he came out, everybody was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Needed that.
We definitely needed that. That dude is phenomenal. Like,
yeah, we needed that.
And it's and nobody's emulated it. So he's got his own lane carved out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say that. That's it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So what has been the biggest piece or the best piece of advice someone's ever given you?
The best advice somebody ever gave me probably was, I'm trying to think. Man, I think it was, I might have been in the eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was eighth grade. And my basketball coach was a Jewish guy. And he was just telling me about how money worked. Yeah. And he just told me, you know, make sure your money makes you money. You know, don't spend your money. Make sure your money make you money. And I don't know why he told me that, but I always remember that. But at a young age, yeah. So I think that was probably one of the best advice I ever got.
That's a good piece of advice for a kid.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, why are you telling me? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's up. So I normally end my show with the same exact question to all of my guests.
All right, let's
do it. I always ask them the same thing.
Let's do it.
What advice would you give 15-year-old AJ?
Oh, man. 15-year-old AJ was so focused. He was really about 20. So 15-year-old AJ. I would probably say enjoy being 15. Enjoy being 15.
Yeah. Yep. That's good.
Yeah.
Because kids normally want to rush. I want to be adult. I want to drive. I want to do this. They want to do everything right now.
Yeah. Enjoy being 15, man. Yeah. You got the rest of your life to be all them problems you rushing toward. You running towards all them problems. You just don't even know. Yeah. Enjoy being 15.
Man, that's great advice. Yeah. I'm about to go tell my son that.
Yeah.
He's like, Mom, can I do this? Can I get a tattoo? I'm like, I promise you, all of that is coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. You came in here and you dropped some real, real, real gems.
Okay.
And I pray that the artists in the Carolinas or anywhere around the world that want to do music, listen to it and take heed. Because for the last, I want to say 4 weeks, I tried to bring on everybody that I knew in the Carolinas that has some type of musical influence.
For sure.
Because I felt like me not being from here, being on the management side of it for a little while,
right,
and getting to have having a bird's eye view on the Carolina specifically, I was concerned.
Right, right. You seeing it. You looking on the outside, looking in,
And I just couldn't understand, like, wait a minute. I've seen all these talented people. I've heard their music. I've seen them grinding. I don't understand why it's not translating. What is going on that is not connecting? Because other cities that I've lived in, whether it's in the South, overseas, or wherever, the cities that I was in, they just supported their artists in a way that I didn't see here.
Right.
And
right,
I couldn't, I didn't understand it. Yeah. So I'm happy that I was able to hear your point of view, for Chuck T, Willie Franco, No Limit Larry, like just hearing these people come in and give me a different perspective that I was not privy to before. Mm-hmm. And hopefully these artists will take notes.
For sure.
Take action.
Take action.
And do the work. Yeah. Y'all got to do the work. Got
to do the work. I mean, like I said, with Audiobox, all the people you name have been in under Audiobox roof at the same time. These artists barely want to speak, you know, barely want to ask questions. You know, if you got me, Chuck T, Willie Frank, Mike, No Limit Larry, I'm saying all of us in the same building at the same time, you better get as much information out of us as you're not charging at that time.
Right.
You know, that's free game, what they call it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, artists just, I mean.
Egos.
I mean, if you're really trying to take it to that next level, it's just the knowledge of the business is, I think, what's lacking.
Yeah.
And that's just it.
Yep. And that was one thing that I learned being in the management position is they like to be in the studio. They like to do the videos. They like to do all the fun stuff. But the publishing side, getting all your music on these different Sound Exchange, Song Trust, all these different things, like that's work.
Oh, yeah.
Building out websites and making sure people can find you, not just on social media. Having things to give out to people. Like it's a whole marketing thing that goes behind it. And if you don't have that part, nobody cares about you being in the studio.
No. You got to build your foundation strong. I want to say shout out to all my folks in Columbia, South Carolina at Quantum Beats. Shout out to my partner, Aaron, down there. Appreciate y'all holding me down while I'm up here, you know, doing what I do.
Columbia, stand up.
Yeah.
Quantum Beats Studio.
hit Carolina, South Carolina Hit Factory. That's what we call
it. Period. Telling y'all.
Yeah.
Well, I really, really, really enjoyed you coming on the show today. Sure. I learned a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
And I ain't get charged for it.
Nah.
Look, so if I ever decide to bump my head and be a manager again, I'll take all this stuff.
Oh, man, I got you.
This is a part of the show where I like to let my guests, you can promote what you want to promote, tell people if you got anything coming up, businesses, how they can follow you on social media, all that good stuff.
For sure.
Floor is yours.
First of all, like I said, shout out to Quantum Beats Studios in South Carolina. You can find us on Instagram at Quantum Beats Studio. That's Quantum Beats Studio. Shout out to my partner, Mike, at Audiobox Studios on Instagram, Audiobox Studios in the Queen City.
Queen City.
You can follow me at AJ Quantum Beats on Instagram, AJ Quantum Beats on Instagram. And other than that, like I said, it's been a pleasure. I enjoyed it. You know, I don't get to talk a lot because I'm so busy. I don't like to talk a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I just like to I'm observant. I'm sitting back, chilling, doing what I do, putting in work and just trying to help as many people as I can if they, you know what I'm saying, looking for the help, you know, I never say no. I always say, yeah, I got time, even though I ain't got time.
Well, I'm sure they appreciate it. Well, I hope they appreciate it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Well, y'all make sure y'all follow AJ. Big shout out to Mike as well. Hopefully I can get you on the show when you ain't on the island somewhere. We appreciated him. And y'all know who I am. I am Dee Dee, a.k.a. the Core Queen. And I help individuals lose weight, get in amazing shape, without starving themselves or spending hours a day in the gym. If you big back bitches need some help, holla at your girl. I'm going to help you out. The summer is coming. Don't come to me 300 pounds talking about you want to weigh 150 by July. I can't help you, okay? But I will get you on your way. You'll be ready by Thanksgiving. Y'all holla at your girl. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell. Comment, like the video, share the video with your friends. Let people know about the podcast. And y'all, if you want to be a guest on my show and I like you enough, I will have you on. I appreciate y'all every week. And make sure y'all go on Spotify and download my podcast too. Listen to it while you're at work. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And I will see y'all next week. We are out.
mind, there was so many